First Light. 400 years ago, Sir Francis Bacon published his Novum Organum, a new work, in which he suggested that all personal, political, and religious opinions should be put aside temporarily so that a solid foundation of reason could be agreed upon, and from which a new work could unite the thinkers of his day. Sadly, the thinkers of his day stood firmly on widely varying opinions about almost everything, competing points of view, variety of ideas like multicolored flags waving wildly by factions disputing legal doctrines, religious theologies, and the eternal question of how mankind should be governed, all boiling over with disagreement and the attendant delays to progress that disagreement always brings. Bacon's hope those four centuries ago was that mankind might at the very least agree about some things that could then provide a firm foundation for their quest to unravel the esoteric mysteries of life, love, government, and the religious bigotry that fosters needless war. In Bacon's day, as in ours, men competed unmercifully for attention, to be top dog, leader of the band, and to adopt Bacon's suggestion meant to be done with their private opinions by which they managed their respective followings, priests, prelates, politicians, even tavern keepers. Everyone cherished his own private views and resisted any alteration to the status quo that gave him his station in society. Narcissism, ego, and greed, then as now, prevented the growth and progress that agreement always fosters. Each man promoted his personal ambition by attracting others to agree with his private way of seeing things. Intellectual chaos reigned then as it does today. As every seasoned sailor knows, however, once one ventures far from land, where nothing but the trackless sea surrounds his vessel, his private opinion counts for nothing. Indeed, opinions on the wide, wide sea are dangerous. Are we steering east-northeast or south by west, a quarter west? If you're thinking, he has stars, the moon, and sun to guide him, you have not spent much time afloat beyond the sight of land, for fog and heavy clouds and moonless nights obscure the heavenly guideposts. Seafarers are then without any means of knowing which way their little ship is sailing. There are no signposts on the ocean. He who thinks he can tell which way is north by contemplation of his navel or the way his ears itch is a fool, whose navigational advice puts all on board in jeopardy. So it is that wise mariners carry a compass. Wise mariners carry two, one in the binnacle by the helm and at least one other stowed safely away in the cabin. On cloudy nights or foggy days, only the compass can be trusted to guide a ship to safe harbor with its passengers who know not how to navigate. In this disruptive age, we have no compass to agree upon as a people seeking peace and prosperity for ourselves and our loved ones. No fixed guides, no eternal truths to bring us to a state of unity where competition of opinions can no longer disrupt the peace and misdirect us. We need again to consider Mr. Bacon's advice and find those things about which all reasonable persons can agree. In our very midst today exists a set of rules, an architecture for a system of law and order by which we can yet govern ourselves in peace and safety, a clear geometry of good government that was well understood in 1776 and agreed upon by those who gave this nation its birth. Those rules, architecture, and geometry are not some arcane complexity we cannot restore. Our nation need not be forever plagued with disruptive opinions of the various warring political parties, intent on tearing us apart, for in our midst are rules, architecture, and geometry that have no affiliation with party, no competition with opinion, no weakness other than the vacillating will of the people to restore it to its rightful place in our minds and in the minds of our children, where too long it has been displaced by divisive confusion. You, the people, can cure by turning once again to its indelible guide. We can restore and secure for future generations the beautiful benefits of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But without her compass of truth and wisdom, lost today in the madness of rebellion from protocol and propriety, our ship of state will drift further from her course and founder in a maddening gale of disagreement where time may seal us from returning again to this opportunity presented to us today. Tomorrow may be too late. Already the rules are ridiculed. The sacred architecture is ignored. The geometry of good government, well understood when I was born in 1943 and protected by the life's blood of millions who sacrificed their all to preserve it for you today, is now considered an impediment to the ambition of fools who, by force of money, are gaining greater access to the helm of our government and steering us toward destruction of all that men once held dear. The core idea of this republic was born in the hearts and minds of men and women over the centuries, long before our nation had its birth. It was a dream of people living in harmony, governed by laws of their own making and not the edicts of tyrants. The dream goes back many thousands of years, when men who were tired of the rule of kings imagined a form of government by which each would be equal to all others, not only in rights, but also in power. Men gathered for centuries, conscious of the perpetuating perplexity of the tendency of individuals to resist being governed by others against their will. The men who contemplated these problems realized that man's self-interest cannot be eliminated, so it must be economized, guided, and made to operate for the benefit of everyone. In short, they were wise enough to understand that self-interest is a motive force that can be used for good if managed with love and wisdom. Those two pillars that can yet make justice for all a gladsome light, guiding us toward global peace. That same self-interest, unbridled by the constraints of a good government, fuels a destructive fire that ultimately threatens the lives and livelihood of every one of us, especially in this post-nuclear age when action spurred by emotion unguided by wisdom can make this planet a barren wasteland in a matter of hours. To understand self-interest as the blind force of the people is a keystone that, rightly fitted in the edifice of government policy, can unite and empower us to make this planet a paradise for every living soul, securing opportunity for each so all can prosper within the boundaries and guidelines of laws by which we choose to be governed. To ignore the blind force that is the people's self-interest invites disaster. Our nation is already beginning to suffer. The Constitutional Republic is not a political parade of competing opinions. It is a precise mechanism, like the magnetic compass card dancing on a needle in the ship's binnacle, guiding the helmsman to steer a straight course. Its protection and preservation should be uppermost in the hearts of every man worthy of being called a man. For by it, the women and children are made safe, the weak are made strong, and everyone is required to pull his own weight. To protect and preserve presupposes that we promote greater understanding of the various complexities presented by constitutional republics, plans that must be understood, managed, and defended against all forces that will come against her until the end of time. She is not difficult to understand. She lifts her lamp for all, promising safety and prosperity for those who will work to keep her strong. She needs us to keep her safe. A legislative branch wisely representative of the people and their respective geographies. An executive branch to carry out the will of the legislature. and a panel of wise judges to ensure that everything is done according to the rules, the architecture, and the geometry, free from partisan or popular influence. If the people of nations now operating as constitutional republics fail to hold fast to the truth stated here, it is impossible for them to avoid the foreseeable consequences already advancing insidiously around the world: oligarchy and the unbridled, unchallengeable, absolute rule of godless tyrants. To imagine this is fantasy is to imagine that the world was not what it was in April 1943, when fires of tyranny and aggressive preemptive warfare nearly swept away the hope of global peace we humans must continue to cherish and protect. Those of you who are safe in your daily lives today enjoy a modicum of peace because you live in a constitutional republic, where each of you enjoys the power and protection of due process and the rule of law. Count this not something of small importance. It is something most of you do not yet understand. Take it not for granted, for if you permit it to be stolen from you by wealthy, godless men, you will be responsible, as they, for the human horrors that result from its absence.